fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Hey, welcome to Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everybody? Yeah, Dave Richard is. I can see him through Skype. He's fired up. Could you believe it's week 10 already, Dave?
That's the bad part. Although, if you're trudging through a miserable fantasy season, A, you're probably happy it's week 10, and B, you're probably not listening right now because your season's over if you're 2-8.
Boo.
No, I think people are still listening.
We even if they're 2-8?
Entertaining. Yes.
If I'm 2-8, I'm moving on to needlepoint.
We've had some very good food
accounting
discussions that people are into lately. I tried a Monte Cristo sandwich yesterday because someone said it should have gone first in the sandwich draft, and it was.
And?
It's great. Is that French toast that it's on?
Yeah, basically.
Terrific.
They basically make a sandwich and then they French toasty fry it.
Yeah. Adam?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to apologize and thank you for only suspending me for one show. And I think it's very very nice that. You gave Jamie the same treatment. I'm glad it's equal treatment.
Jamie will be... No, Jamie's only suspended for a few minutes. He'll be back. What? He'll be on the show. I'm sorry. He didn't punch me
what?
In the helmet like you. Jamie will be on very shortly. On bye this week, we have Jamie. We have Baltimore, Kansas City, Oakland, and Philadelphia. We'll talk about just one guy, if he should be stashed through the bye. And we've got... I'll just start with the news now before we get into the waiver wire priorities. Jalen Ramsey will not be suspended as he faces the Chargers this week. A.J. Green will not be suspended at Tennessee, but Mike Evans is suspended, possibly because he didn't get ejected against the Saints. Mike Evans out, so that really hurts Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was a decent streaming option against the Jets, but no Evans. Jameis Winston's going to miss at least 2 weeks with a shoulder injury. That would be the Jets and then the Dolphins.
You think it's going to be just 2 weeks?
At least 2 weeks.
You think it's going to be just at least 2 weeks?
I don't know. What do I know? And then Atlanta and Green Bay are after that. So, are you excited about picking up Ryan Fitzpatrick for the next month, Dave?
No, not really.
Yeah. I'm always excited about do you realize how great this revenge game is?
Yeah.
It's Fitzmagic revenge against McCown revenge.
Oh, I get
it. With a side dish of Austin Seferian Jenkins revenge, this is going to be, go ahead and call it right now, Adam. This game's the bonanza.
No chance.
Guaranteed. Two bad
defenses. How many interceptions?
No, there's going to be so many fantasy points. If you don't call this game the bonanza, then you're just trying to lose.
I liked Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot better with Mike Evans.
Exactly. I'm not.
And now if Evans
is
off, I don't know if I like this offense much at all. And the Jets have been playing good.
Well, not against quarterbacks, though. Not really, you know? Tyrod Taylor just dropped 30 on them. But no,
do
I can't
get Mo Claiborne back though.
I can't get excited about Fitzpatrick without Evans.
I can't.
DeSean Jackson, Cameron Brait, Luke Stocker.
We forgot about Luke Stocker.
All right. You know, it's a shame that this game isn't in New York because it's in the 30s today. And if it were, I could say revenge is a dish best served cold. You know, because the weather would be cold. So George Kittle.
Dirk Cutter's career is pretty cold right now. You could use that.
George Kittle out this week with an ankle injury, so he won't score a touchdown against the Giants. Dez Bryant day-to-day with knee and ankle injuries. Are you thinking Dez will play this week?
Yes.
Right. I am. But I am also kind of wondering if it's time to stop expecting Dez to be elite.
I've been telling you. You know what, Heath? You know what you should say about him? Because you say this about guys like this. He's a tight end.
He is performing a lot like a tight end. Not great.
Yeah. He needs touchdowns.
He gets them, though.
Where are your touchdowns, Desi?
He still scores so many touchdowns. He had a good game. He had 6 catches for 73 yards on 11 targets against the Chiefs.
Right.
And he left with an injury. That's the second most yards this season for Dez Bryant, by the way.
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, in fairness... We just talked about Mike Evans getting suspended. Mike Evans doesn't have a 100-yard game since, mid-last year.
Reagan era.
Yeah.
Got a couple of 90-yarders this year. Dez has a 98-yarder against the Rams. All right, moving on. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott's going to play this week?
As of now.
All right, better question. Don't drop Alfred Morris, right?
Of course.
That was not a question.
Okay. Well, I put right and then a question mark at the end, so... Let's do some waiver wire priorities here. Top three at each position. Heath, you want to kick it off with the quarterbacks?
I would love to kick it off with the quarterbacks. It is a great week to go get yourself a quarterback, not just for this week, but for the rest of the season. And that man's name is Eli Manning.
Whoa.
I am excited about adding Eli Manning. He goes to play the San Francisco 49ers this week. Then he gets the Chiefs. Then he gets Washington, which whatever. Then he gets the Raiders. Then he gets the Cowboys. Eli Manning can carry you through the rest of the regular season.
Oh, that is bold. I don't know if Eli Manning has ever had a 20 fantasy point game without Odell Beckham. It's possible. You'd have to look at the beginning of Beckham's career.
The first four games, in the last two years. Because Eli Manning had a lot of 20 fantasy point games before Odell Beckham even existed.
Yeah, Beckham missed like the first four games of his rookie season, I think. I'm guessing Manning did in that stretch.
I mean, what did he have last week? 18?
16. 19? Now, he should have had a huge game. He missed on two big touchdowns. They're also talking about perhaps giving Davis Webb some reps. I don't think that's going to happen. Some reps, but to their backup quarterback. It's interesting. I mean, yeah, you're right about the schedule. No quarterback has scored less than 16 fantasy points against the Niners. So that could be a floor. Not a good floor, but it's a floor. But Eli Manning is going to carry you through the next 5 weeks. That is one bold prediction, Heath.
That is just one, and there's many more coming. Now, he is first on my priority list. Second would be Josh McCown, and I like McCown a lot this week. The problem for Josh McCown is he has a bye next week, and he has Carolina the week after that, so he's really just a one-week fix. But he should be very good against the Tampa Bay defense that, quite frankly, has just quit on their coach, their team, their uniforms.
But we've seen it before where it looks like teams have quit, and the very next week they come out on fire. But I don't care. See, right. to me, McCown is the number one guy to get. I'll take him ahead of Eli Manning. But I do acknowledge that if you go and get McCown, you're still streaming, and you're going to be in the same dilemma with quarterbacks as you are right now for the next 2 weeks, because you're not going to feel great starting against Carolina in week number 12.
Right. Well, so Heath, you like Manning better than McCown this week too?
I like Manning better than McCown this week.
All right. So Manning, McCown, and then who's three?
And then who do you have on your bench? Like, you sure you don't want to start the guy you've already got? I do not like the rest of these guys. I guess if I had to pick one, I don't really want to, but I might.
Just don't pick anybody.
Yeah, I don't want any of the rest of these guys.
Well, Cutler is interesting, I think. 30 fantasy points and...
Yeah, but he's got that tough matchup.
He does have Carolina. But I, you know, one of the things I liked about Cutler this week was they traded Ajayi, and I knew they weren't going to run the ball as well or as often. And he threw 42 passes. He had clearly his best game, but it is much tougher. It's at Carolina. Oakland has such a bad pass defense.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too excited about Cutler against a bad Raiders defense coming off of a bye at home with, what, 10 of those points coming in garbage time?
Would you feel better about Cutler if you also got McCown? And then you can use McCown this week against Tampa Bay, and then you can use Jay Cutler next week against Tampa
Bay. Ooh, I
just
like it.
Play everybody against Tampa Bay.
It's the Tampa Bay stream.
And then New England the next week for Cutler.
Yep.
All right, so McCown and Eli. So the New Yorkers, how about us? How about us New Yorkers up here? The two best. And Dave, you like McCown better than Eli? Is Eli number two for you?
What's that?
Is Eli number two for you this week of the streamers?
I suppose he'd be close to there.
Okay.
He's definitely in the mix. It's just McCown's number one. Tyrod is no longer. No. And no. Goff, is Goff considered a streamer now?
No.
Or is he too highly
owned? He's like 88% owned.
Forget it. He's not in the mix either. So, yeah, Eli would be number two.
Oh, Rivers, Dalton. Dalton, 75% owned.
Drop him.
No, yeah, he's got the Titans.
That's great. Drop him.
What? No, he's good in these good matchups. What do you mean drop him? He's got AJ Green.
He's good against these good matchups, and I do think that AJ Green may just have a
monster week.
Monster double birds to the whole world game.
He's going to need somebody to throw him the football.
Look,
Dalton. It's the same quarterback he's had his entire career.
Dalton struggled at
Pittsburgh. How many monster games does he have with
him? Dalton struggled at Pittsburgh in week 7, at Jacksonville in week 9 without AJ Green. Are we surprised by that? No. He scored 22 fantasy points against the Colts in week 8. I mean, we just talked about how bad the streaming options are. How is Jay Cutler not, or how is Andy Dalton not even a consideration?
Because he stinks.
I don't know, man.
Gurgling?
There was no gurgle. I didn't hear a gurgle.
That was Heath, right? Okay, it wasn't me.
I gurgle plenty, but that one was
definitely a gurgle. All right, let's go over to running backs. I was going to have Jamie do the running backs this week.
Well, he's walking in.
Oh, okay.
Very slowly.
I can give you the sneak preview. Yeah.
Give me a J. Give me an A. Can I spell his whole name before he gets the headset on?
No, he's already in the room.
Give me an M. Give me an E.
Give me a cheerleader.
Give me a Y. There's Jamie. All right. Hey, Dave, Heath, did you guys have a good weekend?
It was all right.
You know, it wasn't bad. I
won in a bunch of my leagues. That was good.
Yeah, nice.
Helps to have a good weekend.
All right, so anyway.
See Adam Azer for a little bit.
We're getting into running backs now.
All right.
And there's an interesting group because Jamie, if you read the column, Jamie has the owned in more than 65% of leagues group, which includes Forte and Darkwa, James White, who's 76% owned, Tariq Cohen, Darren McFadden is somebody you could look at, not a great option. Duke Johnson, Javoris Allen, who's on a bye this week. So that's your widely owned group. Jamie on headset, yeah, you there?
Yep.
Hi.
Hi.
Who are your waiver wire priorities at running back this week?
Thomas Rawls will be one, just with the thought that he's going to start. Not great. There's not really a great group this week, but he should have a good opportunity on a short week against Arizona. He actually ran well last week, so if you want to buy into maybe Dwayne Brown being there, 9 carries for 39 yards. And then Damien Williams. It's just criminal that he's only owned in 50%. Shared the same amount of work essentially with Kenyon Drake. Both had 6 catches, but I don't know if you want to start Williams this week, but he certainly should be owned.
Williams is at Carolina. We know how good they are against running backs. They did allow their first receiving touchdown to a running back last week. That was against Atlanta. It was Tevin Coleman's only catch. So Rawls, Damien Williams, and then, you know, we can talk about the other guys like Riddick and Burkhead later, but if there was a player who was, you know, maybe in shallower leagues, a Forte or a Darkwa or a James White, who would you go with there?
Forte for sure. I mean, yeah. Just a great matchup this week against Tampa Bay. And, you know, he's coming off a strong game with 2 touchdowns, has extra time to prepare. So old legs, you know, should be fresh. It's a good spot for him, certainly for a 1 week situation. And then hopefully they continue to do what they're doing, which is give both guys work or all 3 guys work. But he's been very good.
And Darkwa's got a great matchup, too. You're going to see him against San Francisco. It looks like he's the lead guy in the backfield for the Giants. He could end up scoring and having a really good game. Number 2 running back this week.
Yeah, I agreed too quickly. I would take Darkwa over Forte, but I like both of them more than anybody else on the list.
And those guys are going to be available in leagues. I mean, Forte is 69% owned. Darkwa is 72% owned. And just to clarify, I think you just said it, Heath, but we like them better than Rawls and Damien Williams.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Williams,
yeah, I got another running back.
Sorry, just let me – Williams or Rawls in PPR?
Rawls for this week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dave, who would you like to discuss?
I'd like to speculate on 2 if I can have the floor. One is Rex Burkhead, who you mentioned, and the other one is Devontae Booker, who I think could take over for C.J. Anderson at some point before the season ends. Love the idea of stashing both. Rex particularly in a PPR league.
Okay. All right, then. Wide receiver is Dave Richards today. Dave, wide
receiver. I'm a wide receiver today?
Yes.
Yay!
Is that what you said?
Yes, sir, that you are.
Okay. I think Robert Woods has another great matchup this week for the Rams. Continues to get a lot of targets and catches. 25% owned. Definitely room for him to have another good week if you miss out on him last week. Kind of fluky how he had his numbers, but you'll take it. Marquise Goodwin looks like he's the number 1 receiver for San Francisco. Great matchup against the Giants with or without Janoris Jenkins. The way that he plays, he's a deep ball receiver. The question is, who's going to get him the deep ball? Is it going to be Beathard? It's a bit of a risk, but I like his upside. 2 Titans receivers, and Titans in general, I think if you can't pick them up off the waiver wire, I think you could trade for them. They've got a pretty nice schedule the rest of the way. Corey Davis, 58% owned. Rashard Matthews, 61% owned. I think they could be definitely helpful for fantasy owners moving forward. And then last but not least, this is for deeper leagues, Deontay Thompson of Buffalo. Yes, they acquired Kelvin Benjamin. Yes, Zay Jones got hurt. Yes, Zay Jones scored a touchdown last week, and yes, he still has a terrible catch rate. Deontay Thompson's been good for them 2 of their last 3 games, and I can't help but wonder if he's going to end up starting as that number 3 receiver and an outside receiver when they go to a 3-receiver formation.
So you got Robert Woods, you got Marquise Goodwin, you have the Tennessee wide receivers, deeper leagues, you have Deontay Thompson. First question, what if Robbie Anderson's available?
I'd get Robbie first.
Yep.
Okay, second question. Why Woods number one in that group ahead of Goodwin? Well, I understand ahead of Goodwin. Why ahead of Rishard Matthews, who was what, like the number 12 wide receiver in fantasy last year in standard, and had a, you know, led the team in targets last week, scored a touchdown? Why Woods ahead of him?
It's just more for this week. I like Woods' matchup better this week.
Okay. Yeah, the Titans have Cincinnati this week. The Rams have Houston this week. All right, great. So there's some names for you. Later on, we'll tell you. Josh Gordon, we'll tell you about when to pick him up. Danny Amendola. All right. Danny Amendola. Maybe the Cowboys guys. Obviously, if Dez Bryant doesn't play, then it opens up a lot of opportunity for Williams and for Beasley. They're at Atlanta. And Mohamed Sanu might be available. He's 81% owned. That'll be shallower leagues. Let's go to tight ends and back to Heath Cummings. Heath, give me your top three waiver wire tight ends.
Well, I've got two again. We've got a couple of guys that are expected to be coming back from extended absences. Charles Clay, we all remember how great he was early in the season, and he has very nice matchup this week against the Saints, just 28% owned. If he plays, he's going to be my top 10 tight ends, and that'll probably be true each and every week.
Okay.
And then the smart hat is coming back. CJ Fedorowicz, 4% owned. He's more of a deeper league option. You'd like to, he's not going to get all of the targets at tight end. Steven Anderson will get a few. They like to mix it up just a little bit, but I think Fedorowicz could still be a borderline top 12 guy rest of season. He was somebody I really liked coming into the year. And then it kind of depends on what you need. The Dolphins are not very good at covering tight ends. Ed Dixon did nothing last week without Kelvin Benjamin, but I'm not ready to give up on Ed Dixon just because of that. If you need somebody this week, he would be my third choice. If you need somebody rest of season, Greg Olsen, not going to play this week, has a bye next week. And then all indications are he should be back for the Jets and the Saints.
Yeah, a lot of these tight ends have good matchups going forward. And I just want to say one thing about what Heath said to back him up, because you might see, you know, Heath said that Clay is a good matchup. And then you might say, well, the Saints, they allow the sixth fewest fantasy points to tight ends. But really, they haven't faced good ones since weeks one and two. Weeks one and two, they gave up a touchdown to Kyle Rudolph, a huge game, and a touchdown to Gronkowski. So, yeah, I don't know that they're really the sixth best against tight ends. Then he's got a pretty tough matchup at the Chargers, but after that, it's great. And, you know, Jamie, I think a lot of owners might find one of the following players on their waiver wire, if not more. Hunter Henry, Vernon Davis, Tyler Croft, and Jared Cook. Hunter Henry, Vernon Davis, Tyler Croft, and Jared Cook. These guys are owned in 70 to 80% of leagues, but one of them might be available. And Henry, Croft, and Cook have really strong really good matchups, going forward. Especially Henry and Cook. I mean, Cook, oh my goodness. After his bye, he's got bye, but New England, Denver, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, and the Eagles in week 17, like incredible matchups. Anyway, you think those shallower guys are going to be in play for a lot of owners this week? Maybe Hunter Henry?
Sure. I mean, look, he was cut in several leagues. We talked about that, I think, last week.
Right.
So if they're still out there, you want to look to see if you can grab them.
Who do you like better this week? Hunter Henry at Jacksonville or Tyler Croft? Let's see. They've got Tennessee this week? Yeah, at Tennessee.
Henry, short-term and long-term.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully you can get...
I think the only way that would change is if there's somehow a suspension levied on AJ Green, which it doesn't seem that's going to be the case.
You guys buying Jared Cook? Because we didn't really get to talk about it on the Sunday show. He's obviously a Sunday night superstar with 126 yards.
Actually, I heard Heath talk about it a lot.
Oh, yeah, on the Sunday show?
Yes. Yeah.
His mic was muted. Yep. Yeah, sorry about that. My bad.
We were just talking about how unfair it was that I got suspended for a full show and you were only suspended for the first 10 minutes.
I'm AJ Green.
okay, I'm sorry. Are you buying Jared Cook?
I'll tell you what I like best about his last three games. Averaging roughly 15 yards per catch. Has a couple of long grabs in there. He's always had a lot of targets. There was one week where we kind of bought into him. It was against the Chargers. He had 3 targets, 2 catches in that game. Those are both season lows for him. Usually he's right around 5-6 targets. Last week he had 9, and he's catching a pretty decent amount of them. In his last 3 games, he's only missed on 3 targets. So he's getting work, he's getting volume, and he's making some big plays downfield. I think you have to buy in.
I'm not buying into the level of he's performed like a top 5 tight end the last 3 weeks. I think he's a top 5 tight end. But at this position, yeah, he's a starter.
Okay. Who's got DSTs this week? Jamie? Or,
sure.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, you got DSTs. Who are some of the good ones?
Let me get there. Hold on.
Bears, Pats.
The Bears are 14% owned. They get Brett Hundley, who stinks. The Patriots, they get somebody playing quarterback for Denver. They stink. Coming off a bye week, they should be prepared.
It's Osweiler.
The Giants, they get San Francisco. Their quarterback stinks. And the Titans, they are 45% owned. They get the Bengals, who stink.
Cincinnati has allowed double-digit fantasy points to opposing DSTs in four straight weeks. So
if
those,
you're stuck, the Jets, too.
The names were the Bears, the Pats, the Giants, and the Titans. I say this, though, like, yes, Green Bay, it's kind of like facing the Bears. Green Bay, they're not good offensively, but they haven't given up fantasy points to defenses the last 2 weeks because Hundley doesn't throw interceptions. Hasn't thrown.
Well, that's kind of his track record, though.
He hasn't the last 2 weeks. Okay, so the Bears are very good at home, and they put up fantasy points at home. So, okay, Bears are number one there. Steelers are 75% owned. They've got the Colts. They didn't make the cut because they had, you know, they're too owned, but 75% owned Steelers, would you take them over the Bears?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And the Lions are also 75% owned. Take them over the Bears, too. Yeah. Not over the Bears, but the Lions are worth picking up.
I would take the Lions over the Bears, even.
Okay. The Lions, sure. Maybe I would they've take got Cleveland. Man. Yeah.
They're both in good spots.
Yep.
Lions, Steelers in shallower leagues, Bears, Patriots in deeper leagues. By the way, Broncos are winning this week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge call.
I said it. Tom Brady can't win there. He does not win there, folks. Or maybe he doesn't put up big fantasy numbers there. But yes, you know I'm serious when I say folks. Okay, IDP, Dave Richard.
A couple of defensive linemen that I think could be good that are low owned. Muhammad Wilkerson has been playing well. Jarrell Casey in Tennessee. Those are two guys you can look at adding. Linebackers, Denzel Perryman. On his way back for the Chargers, he should fit right into the starting lineup, start racking up a ton of tackles. Joe Schobert, see if he's still on the waiver wire in your league. He's on the Browns. He didn't do anything last week. He'll come back. That's a defense that's going to see a lot of offense. Their offense is going to turn the ball over, so it's good to have somebody getting tackles in the middle, and that's Joe Schobert. Anthony Barr for Minnesota also is interesting. Defensive backs, Kirk Coleman, still out there in a ton of leagues. Same thing with D'Angelo Hall, a couple of veterans, three veterans actually, Coleman, D'Angelo Hall, Trumaine Johnson, all three of them, I think, have potential to help your IDP team.
I got an email of the day, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I can't find the email of the day right now, but I remember what it said. It said, oh, here it is. It's from Justin. Dear Cousins, Hoyer, Stanton, and Cook, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Harrison Butker worth carrying through his bye?
Probably not.
I think he's good enough to where, like.
Wait, hold on. We now go to a kicker expert. Heath
kicker
Cummings.
Expert. I love kickers.
And Chiefs.
There's nothing I love more. The one thing that I love more than kicker leagues is carrying two at a time.
Right, yeah.
You should pretty much never carry a kicker, but if you were going to, he is of the ilk that would make you consider it.
Would Jake Elliott also
be? Is he the tomato of kickers?
He has this to this point been the tomato of kickers.
I would say Jake Elliott has been the tomato of kickers, and he's on bye this week.
That's
so. If you're keeping Harrison Butker, then you're definitely keeping Jake Elliott.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I think I would. Yeah.
And Justin Tucker's on bye this week.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Can't drop it's kickers.
Kicker by madness.
Yeah.
Kicker by NATO. We've been talking about kicker by NATO since the preseason. Week
it's
10.
It's finally here.
We said it. All right. Drop you know them. What? Maybe you do hang on to these guys. If you're going to drop them, do it on Saturday night. But, you know, here's another thing you should do is when you put in your claim. If you have a league where you can't make ad drops on Sunday, I don't know how many leagues are like that, but fab leagues could be like that. I always put in like $3 bids for kickers, dropping the same kicker every time just to make sure, you know, there aren't other owners adding a kicker and I don't get left out. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Don't drop three separate people. Drop the same kicker for three different kickers to make sure at least one of them goes through. Hey, maybe even do like 5 or 6. Maybe do 12 just to make sure that, you know, just in case everybody in the league is picking up a kicker that night.
I'm not doing 12, Adam.
And, I think no one has more experience with trying not to get left out than you, Adam, and this is how you do it.
Thank you. Yeah, you just ask a lot, and eventually things work out for you. All right, very cool feature I want to tell you about on the Draft app. So I got a text, notification on my phone on Sunday morning. Leonard Fournette is out. Swap a player in your draft contest. And that was cool because I had Leonard Fournette in the league. My internet wasn't working really, so I didn't swap him out. But that's not the Draft app's fault. The Draft app would have let me make a change to my lineup and get Leonard Fournette out of my lineup as he was declared inactive. So that's really cool and a very helpful feature. I did 5 drafts this weekend with listeners, and I went 3-2, which makes me the smartest man alive. No, it makes me very thankful to have all these listeners challenging me. And I don't know, getting probably 20 to 30 challenges a week. So I'm going to ignore a lot of them, but keep on trying because I will accept some of them as well. Probably play about 5 a week. We'll play for $1. Me against you. But what you got to do is you got to download the Draft app, and you got to find me, by the way. I'm Big Kane 2 on Draft. By the way, go Canes. You're doing real live snake drafts. This is one-on-one with me, but you should do bigger leagues because they're a lot more fun. You should do 5-person leagues. You should do 10-person leagues. You should do, you know, bigger drafts. They don't take long. 30 seconds on the clock. You put players in your queue. It's really easy. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft, like I said, takes care of the last-minute injuries for you. Download the Draft app, and our promo code is FFToday. You get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Again, download the Draft app or go to playdraft.com, and our promo code is FFToday. The promo code FFToday. I'll see you on Draft. News and notes. Well, we got the Worryometer coming up later. We got more waiver wire names for you. We'll recap Sunday night and Monday night football. Brock Osweiler's going to start this week. Tyler Lockett has a shoulder injury. Boy, Seattle wide receivers can be very frustrating. So you don't have to own Tyler Lockett, right? They got the Thursday night game at Arizona.
You don't have to.
All right. Good. Thank you.
You're good.
Appreciate that.
If you wanted to.
Freedom. I don't. San Francisco wide receiver Trent Taylor has a broken rib. San Francisco, according to Jay Glazer, inquired about Tom Brady at the trade deadline, huh?
Yeah, that's something.
How'd that conversation go?
What do you think they offered? What do you offer for a Tom Brady?
You start with Beathard. Joe Staley. Yeah, I don't know. Kyle Shanahan,
see,
maybe?
It's like the guy in your league that comes to you and says, I want to trade for Le'Veon Bell. And you go, well, I'm not really going to trade you Le'Veon Bell, but sure, I'll listen to anything. What have you got?
You gave a first this year, first next year, and Reuben Foster. You take that if you're the Patriots?
In the middle of the season? I don't think I can do it in the middle of
the season.
It's
a pretty good trade, though, because like you're going to get your franchise.
Season, I think it gets talked about.
You're going to get your franchise quarterback this year, like if you draft the right guy.
I mean, it would make no sense for San Francisco to do that, but
no, definitely not. That's fun. Yeah. So thanks for trying, and we'll just go ahead and keep Tom Brady. Do you expect the following players this week? Eddie Lacy.
Nope.
CJ Prosize.
They say he's going to play.
Okay.
They said that on Monday or Tuesday of last week as well.
Are you calling the Seahawks liars?
I would not call them liars.
Do you think they lie about anything?
Spreaders
ever?
Of disinformation.
Okay. Do you expect DeMarco Murray?
As of now, yes.
Chris Hogan?
As of now, no.
Really? Okay. So that makes Amendola a lot more interesting. Although it is Denver. Julio Jones? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Charles Clay, yes. And Jordan Reed against Minnesota?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
All right, Monday Night Football, Detroit 30, Green Bay 17. So this was domination. Detroit had the ball for 36 minutes and 55 seconds. You know, I'm sorry, Jamie. I talk about Aaron Jones.
Who's that? look,
what'd
that sucked. Yeah, I don't know what to say. They got behind. They went away from the run. He wasn't good on the opening drive. Missed on a blitz pickup, got Brett Hundley sacked. They were chasing points. Ty Montgomery's better in that situation, and looked to be healthy. So Aaron Jones was a disappointment. So bad call by me.
Was anyone else disappointed just with the Packers offense in general. They had a week to prepare. Like
everyone that was hoping that the Packers offense would do something well, I think, was disappointed.
Anybody watched that game was disappointed.
I wasn't surprised, though. I really wasn't.
I gave the coaching staff way too much credit. I thought for sure that they'd get something going. Hundley didn't try a big boy throw until the second quarter, and it didn't go well.
He's not good. He's not a big boy.
Yeah, he's not.
I'd rather see Aaron Rodgers left-handed.
Yeah, Devontae Adams should have caught that deep ball, but still, I mean, it's going to be a struggle. And do you feel confident starting any Packers going forward?
I don't think you can.
No.
I don't think there's any positive that you can really take away. Even Devontae Adams in the PPR league, I don't know if that's good enough to say that that's a good option. He might be a number three in a PPR because I don't know how often he's going to get 10 targets and 7 catches.
Now, Jamie, there's not as many of those as there were supposed to be.
Okay.
Because Dave had to do something with the Bean Boozled. I'm not sure. But
I took a picture with a box of Bean Boozled. It was the box that was open.
A box of Bean Boozled in a box on my desk.
I might have misplaced them inside the box.
And then just left them there.
Wait a minute. I didn't put them on your desk.
No, in the box.
In the box, right.
So I have Bean Boozled just sitting out open. Surprised there aren't bugs, really.
In the box. Not in on your desk.
Are you guys eating a Bean Boozled today? Because I got the bonanza right, didn't I?
Have you eaten yours from the week before?
I really don't respect this angle. You never establish those rules. You never establish those rules.
So what's happening, Jamie?
I'm going to eat a Bean Boozled for getting started the week wrong.
Okay.
All right,
please get one of the gross ones. I hear the white ones are the worst.
And he landed on...
It's online.
No, that's not on the line. Are you kidding? It's right there on the red. You're in the red section.
What's
the red section?
You're either going to get chocolate pudding or canned dog food. So one
there is no... There is none of those.
Dave already dumped all those.
No. All these dark ones are it.
Okay.
So have one of the dark colors.
That's great.
Go ahead.
Dog food or chocolate? Dog food.
Dog food.
He's got dog food, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, really, if you're going to have a brown one and one of them's chocolate, shouldn't the other one just taste like poop?
Yes. I don't know if they can actually
make candy taste
that,
like poop.
Though.
Why? Poop is bad?
Let me tell you about a TV show.
Listen, you were so bad, I'm going to do it again.
It wasn't so
chocolate
bad.
Pudding or explosive diarrhea?
Yes.
Let me tell you about a TV show called Nathan For You. You ever seen that show?
Fruity Fruity or Sticky Socks.
No one's listening to your TV show.
All right, so it's like, yeah, that one.
Come on, Sticky Socks.
Have you gotten a whiff of these? Just take a smell.
That was Tutti Frutti.
Oh, how was Tutti Frutti?
Right, so
was it good?
Dog food and Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
Stop
I don't think I find
them.
These as bad as they're supposed to be.
No.
He's going to like snack
really
on
kind of a letdown.
Anyway, real quick, Nathan For You, very funny show on Comedy Central, the first one ever. This guy, he comes up with these wacky business ideas for local businesses, and this guy, he tried to help a local frozen yogurt shop, and he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create a poop flavor, and everybody's going to come and try it. And he did create a poop flavor, and everybody came and tried it, and they were like, this is disgusting. It tastes like poop. So you can do it. It is possible. All right, anyway.
People paid to have poop.
Yes, they was like a gimmick, and it worked. It's a very funny show. All right, it was. I haven't watched it in years. I don't even know if it's still on. So, who's droppable on the Packers?
Cobb.
But he always
he was their best receiver.
he had their best catch of the night.
He had one big play. I mean, he just hasn't been good all season.
I don't necessarily disagree. I think he was droppable last week. So
yeah, I mean, we had him on the list going into the bye week.
So Jordy Adams, Ty Montgomery, are they droppable?
I wouldn't drop Montgomery now.
No.
Yeah.
I still would wait to see if maybe they do make a quarterback change. I don't know if Callahan's better than Hundley, but I'd hold on to Jordy and Adams. If I have an open roster spot and I see Jordy and Adams available, I'll probably pick them up.
And
Cobb, I have no interest in.
We shouldn't, Adam, I don't think it's fair of you to bring up the short of the week, Aaron Jones, without mentioning that Jamal Williams scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I know. Last play of the game, Jamal Williams scored a 1-yard touchdown. I just want to say, like, let's give Hundley a little bit of credit. Like, 2 weeks ago, he threw for 87 yards. This week, he threw for 245 yards. He got better, you know?
He's awful.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I don't know how he's that bad. And, like, we thought coming into the year he was one of the better backups, right?
No.
I didn't. I didn't know. I really
think that the Packers had kind of conveyed that.
Well, they
can. I think every team's going to say that their backup is
right. Well,
standing.
Yes, but we know that a lot of them have played and failed before. I guess that was.
And now he's playing and failing.
He's terrible.
It's good to see Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's playing really well, guys. Finally gets the fantasy points to show for it. But who's the best Lions wide receiver rest of season, Jones or Tate?
The only reason why I would say Tate is because eventually Kenny Golladay will come back, and that'll take numbers away from Marvin Jones. I am serious. It'll be over for Marvin because Kenny Golladay will take
Dave,
over and be awesome.
Are you being serious right now?
I do like Tate better rest of season. Okay. But they're neck and neck.
I agree with the neck and neck part. I would definitely take Tate in PPR.
We talked about how Marvin Jones' schedule gets pretty tough.
Yep.
Does it matter, though? I mean, it does? Okay, so yeah. Cleveland this week, that's great. At Chicago, that's been tough for receivers. Minnesota, that's tough. At Baltimore, that's tough. And then it's better after that. But is he still
really only better for one game.
Is he still sell high, or is he too good to sell, Marvin Jones?
I'm going to try and trade him this week in a league where I have four receivers and Zeke, and so I'm going to see if I can get a running back in return just in case.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the type of player. That's the type of scenario I think you want to try and sell him. I think he could be he's no worse than a number three receiver rest of the way, even in tough matchups. Because Stafford's playing well, they still have trouble running the ball. They're going to get Taylor Decker back. That'll certainly help things on the offensive line.
Yes.
So Jones is still a very good player. I just think Tate's in a better spot because of where he plays, his yards after catch. He's going to still get healthy after the shoulder injury, and that's still going to be the guy that gets the most targets for this team.
Okay. Oakland, Miami, we'll get to in just a second, but I thought some of the funnier Butterfinger feedback that we got from my eating that Butterfinger on Sunday night's podcast.
By the way, they're a potential sponsor, so you ruined
that person. Yeah, no, a real sponsor is Harry's Razors. And some of the funnier feedback was, why isn't Adam using his Harry's Razors? Yes, I'm a Harry individual, but I do use Harry's Razors all the time, and you should as well. Go to harrys.com/FFT, harrys.com/FFT, because you're getting a free trial offer. How would you guys like it if I just came over to your house and I handed you $13? That's basically what Harry's is going to do for you. They're going to give you a $13 value for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping. And what you're going to get at harrys.com/FFT is a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. It comes in a really nice presentation. You're going to be very impressed. And it's a really good shave. It's a close, clean, comfortable shave. You're going to love it. harrys.com/FFT. Like, even if the razor weren't better than the other razors, this deal is incredible. Razor blades are so stinking expensive. harrys.com/FFT. You're getting this for free. Try it now. You're going to really love this product. We get great feedback on it. So once again, harrys.com/FFT. I want to get back into the waiver wire, guys, and the drop-o-meter. So please give me some quick thoughts on Sunday Night Football. Oakland 27, Miami 24.
This Miami offense is going to flow through Jay Cutler like tobacco through a lung. And the running backs are going to catch plenty of passes.
What?
And
Smoking Jay Cutler.
I was thinking of something cutlery.
That was clever. Okay.
I don't know if that was clever or not. Heath kind of looked at me like I was crazy.
No, I think it was very clever. It was hilarious. I laughed.
But yeah, I think they're going to be very pass-oriented moving forward.
I'd probably float some Marshawn Lynch trade offers out there if I was a Marshawn Lynch owner.
To give him away?
Because he basically did what he's done almost every week. Around 14, 12, 15 carries, right. 50, 60, 70 yards. This time he scored 2 touchdowns.
Now, how do you feel about Kenyon Drake? Who would you rather have rest of the season, Drake or Lynch?
I'll say Lynch, but they're close.
I'll say Lynch, too.
Kenyon Drake, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Take Drake,
I don't. I couldn't argue against
Drake. Will be more involved in the passing game. He doesn't have the same breakdown potential. He should be coming in with fresh legs. Again, they're going to get Ted Larson back to shut up the offensive line.
I'll take both Miami backs in PPR over Lynch. So
yeah.
And Lynch had fresh legs in this game on Sunday because he got he got kicked out of a game and then he had a bye. I forgot to mention.
No, I mean, he did practice with high school kids.
He did, right. I forgot to mention Amir Abdullah. Would you rather have these Dolphins running backs or Amir Abdullah who fumbled twice?
Just when they were giving him the work, they give it to him inside the 10.
The first fumble, I don't really want to say was entirely on him because he may have thought the play was stopped and he's in a pile and lying on bodies and the ball gets ripped out. The second one is completely awful.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
I take Abdullah over Lynch, Drake, and Williams, yes.
Again, okay. Hopefully Taylor Decker coming back will make that offensive line better and they can actually try and run the ball.
Heath, you and I had a pretty good argument about Devontae Parker versus Jarvis Landry, and you win this round, but it was close. And Parker had more yards, but Landry got the touchdown. Landry might set his career high in touchdowns this year. Does he have 4 or 5 now? I think his career high is 5, and I believe he has 4 now.
I'm actually a little worried about Landry after this game.
How come?
Because we saw 12 targets go to Drake and Williams, and that's not really something the Miami offense was doing very much. Landry only got 7 targets in this game. The touchdown's great, but 6 for 32 is awful.
I'll tell you what you can worry about with Jarvis Landry is that he's averaging 7.7 yards per catch this year.
Which is why he either has to score a touchdown or he has to get double-digit targets.
It's a great matchup for him.
Against Carolina?
Panthers have really struggled with slot receivers, so I'm okay with him still this week. And the fact, look, the knock on him coming into the year, scoring touchdowns, he's been very good at that for his track record.
But the yardage hasn't been so
high. I think they're going to be in a situation where they have to throw because they can't run. And so maybe the running backs are involved catching the ball in the backfield, but I think Landry will too.
Okay. I guess real quick on the drop-off meter. Now, we covered a lot of the waiver wire in the beginning of the show, so we'll give you some more names. But let's do the drop-off meter. I'm just going to read them off of Twitter here. Did not have time to put them in the notes this week, guys. I apologize, so just follow along. 0 to 10, drop-off meter on Will Fuller.
2.
8.
7, yeah.
Dave, you're getting rid of him, huh?
Just a 2,
Maybe 7's better, but, like, you're not going to know when to start him.
Rishard Matthews and Will Fuller are sitting out there. Who you'd rather have right now?
Matthews, easily.
Right. Corey Davis or Will Fuller are out there. Who you'd rather have right now?
I'll take Corey.
Right. Marquise Lee or Will Fuller.
And I take Goodwin, too.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's not. We got the one game sample size, and it was ugly.
Right.
I don't think it's a slam dunk across the board. I would still have. I'd rather have Will Fuller over Goodwin because bad quarterback. they're kind of the same spot. They're both deep threat guys. So.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton is really an interesting player when you look at Fuller, when you look at all the Packers guys. Like, you know, thinking about T.Y. Hilton's season, and if we had known right from the jump that Andrew Luck was out all year, is he a guy that really would have been worth owning? You know, I don't know that there's a clear-cut answer because he's had 3 monster games and 6 terrible ones.
The
5?
Only nice thing about him, and we talked about it, that other than the Titans game, he's been pretty predictable.
Right, right. So is that what you expect from say, Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams, for them to be predictable?
No. No, they don't have as good a quarterback as T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. Hilton doesn't have another good receiver to share targets with.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think either of them are anywhere close to as good as Hilton the rest of the season.
So, that, I mean, how are they not droppable then?
It's a good point.
I'm not saying they are. Like, I don't have the guts to do it.
I don't think I do either.
I guess I want to see one more game, and then we can revisit that. C.J. Anderson, drop-o-meter.
5.
3.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean towards the 3 side on this one.
Because you don't know if this is going to be a permanent thing or not. I think Devontae Booker's got a lot more juice in his legs at this point, and certainly he's more versatile.
Willie Snead.
10.
Yeah.
11.
14.
Boy, why does Luis say drop Adam Azer for Tim Tebow?
Oh, I don't mind that. That would get more people into the podcast.
I don't know if it would be as fun.
How do you think Tebow would be as a host?
It would help our ratings.
It would help.
That's what I'm saying.
It would help. Like, I would take that for the team. I would take one for the team. That would be good for you guys. Sammy Watkins.
0.
0.
You're not dropping him after that amazing... one catch, 60 whatever yards, and touchdown. But it's a glimpse. It's a glimpse of what could be in the future for the Rams.
And if they were in a game where they're chasing points, targets could have been there for them.
2.
Okay, they're not going to be chasing points this week against the Texans. Nelson Agholor.
8.
No, 3.
Dave is not dropping anyone.
I'm keeping everybody.
I'll split the difference. 5. No. 5.
And yeah, I'm not keeping that guy on his bye week.
Here's our tweet of the day from Joseph. This is actually like 100% true. Adam, I agree with you about Jerry Maguire. If that's a football movie, so is Ace Ventura and The Last Boy Scout. Great point. Terrific.
How is The Last Boy Scout not a football movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Actually, okay, The Last Boy Scout probably is, but Ace Ventura, definitely not a football movie, has as much
football.
I don't
think people consider that a football movie.
But then they shouldn't consider Jerry Maguire a football movie.
But it is a football movie.
But it's not a football movie.
A pet movie.
Yeah. Waiver wire. All right.
It's so funny. Whenever you get something that agrees with you, you find it and you read it.
Right.
Oh, like, I read the ones that don't.
Email read.
I just read a guy who said, drop me for Tim Tebow.
No, because that's funny in relation to you. If there's someone that says Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, we get probably, I'll be fair, 50-50. You never read the ones that say Die Hard.
That's not
Christmas.
True.
That is 100% true.
No, that's not true at all. I read it and then I immediately dismiss it.
Exactly. You don't read it.
No, I read it, then I say you're like,
you read
dumb.
It to yourself, and then you go, I'm not going to read this one. It doesn't agree with my point.
Jamie's basically calling you a useless jerk. I don't know if you should take that.
You know what? Why don't you go?
This segment of Adam brings up something he's obviously wrong on.
Go talk to Tim Tebow. See what he thinks about it. All right, here are your quarterbacks. remember, we've already talked about a lot of these guys, but it was Josh McCown and Eli Manning as the two best with Andy Dalton. Jamie, you didn't weigh in on Andy Dalton. We have a split decision here on Dalton this week against Tennessee. What do you think?
I think he's a starting fantasy quarterback.
And Jared Goff, if he's available, he's 84% owned. Do you guys think Jared Goff is going to be good rest of season?
He's going to be good this week.
I would play the matchups with Goff.
I think Goff is a top five quarterback this week, and then he may not be top 20 again for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I hate to say what I'm going to call him after what happened last night.
Oh, boy.
Oh. All right.
Think about it before you do it. Don't commit to anything.
I don't need to worry about
it. It's already been done.
I don't need to worry about what I'm thinking about. So it's probably going to be Goff. There may be somebody else that I consider. And I may do something funny to pick the start of the week. But Goff is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Okay. So Goff, McCown, Manning. Jamie, you got the Vikings guys on here. Keenum and Bridgewater. What's your thought?
Well,
there?
It's Keenum. I mean, look, he's facing a Redskins defense that's allowed just under 19 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks this year. And he's coming off a strong game. So I don't think he's a must-start guy, but in two quarterback leagues, he's absolutely in the discussion.
Okay, Cutler is on the list. Just not a good matchup this week, but Tampa Bay and then New England the next 2 weeks. Ryan Fitzpatrick would have been higher if not for Evans. Heath, though, where are you ranking Fitzpatrick this week?
I have Fitzpatrick ranked probably higher from what it sounds like than everyone else. I don't know that there's just any hope at all of Tampa Bay being able to run the ball. Apparently I don't know what they did with
the lines declining.
Peyton Barber and Doug Martin.
Yeah, they didn't like how Martin was working with their line, so they.
But I've got him as a top 15 quarterback. I would start him over Kirk Cousins.
Yes, and Rivers.
I currently have Rivers and Cousins ahead of Fitzpatrick. I originally had Fitzpatrick in the top 10, but that was before the news came down about Mike Evans.
It definitely hurts.
And again, it's you can't discount emotion. Ryan Fitzpatrick facing his old team.
He lost his superpowers, though. Shaved the beard.
That's true. Good point. I'm moving him down.
Okay. Jacoby Brissett, you know, he's...
Yeah, I pulled Brissett from the column. You can move on.
Okay. Yeah, he was playing well, but Pittsburgh and then a bye.
Yep.
And Paxton Lynch, but he won't be starting.
No, but he's not a bad stash candidate.
Okay.
Can't be any worse than what the two guys there have done so far.
In those deeper leagues.
Here's a guy I just want to throw it out because, you know, it's the waiver wire show. Blake Bortles. Chargers have not allowed 20 fantasy points to a quarterback since week one, so maybe not this week, but after that. At Cleveland, at Arizona, who actually give up a lot of points, and then Indianapolis. I think Bortles is bad, but 2 weeks in a row with 18 fantasy points. Any interest there, guys, in a stash on Bortles?
I thought about it, but the matchup this week and with the quarterbacks that you're going to have to either make a decision to carry, he's not worth carrying if you're not going to play him. So two quarterback leagues, if you need somebody, it's not horrible, but the matchup is just so bad.
There's also a confidence issue with Bortles, as in, are you ever going to feel confident starting him?
I think he's in a better spot than the guy he's facing this week.
So it's really the Cousins owner this week.
Rivers.
The Rivers owner this week need to be active on waivers.
Yep. The Wentz owner.
The
Alex Smith owner.
I don't know how many Rivers owners there are because he was on a bye last week.
Oh,
so
many.
People already had a quarterback to use in place of him. So if they want to get away from them, you can. I'm not ready to say that he's going to be bad this week, believe it or not.
There's 89% of people who own him, so plenty of people own him.
Thousands upon thousands.
He's going to be
right,
bad.
But they
against,
didn't start him.
He's going to be bad
week.
Against Jacksonville.
Okay. That's for Thursday's show or Friday. Yeah, Thursday's show. Running backs. Okay, recapping what we talked about. Matt Forte and Orleans Darkwa are good options this week. I just feel like the Giants are so bad, but Darkwa, do you think he scores?
He's in
I think
a good
he has
spot.
A chance to.
Yeah. 16 carries last week.
He was good against the Chargers. He was good last week against the Rams, just didn't score.
Yeah.
He was great against Denver. He's playing the 49ers. I don't know what you want.
They allow the most fantasy points to running backs, so it's a good matchup. It's Forte, Darkwa. James White is 76% owned. It's much more appealing in PPR. Denver allows the third fewest receiving yards per game to running backs. Does that matter to you with James White?
A little bit. I think Bill Belichick's pretty good at attacking a defense where they're weak.
If Hogan is out as expected, you're going to see White and Burkhead play a lot.
Jamie, how come Tariq Cohen is mentioned here?
Without Benny Cunningham, he's played well.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Darren McFadden, 71% owned. Duke Johnson, 76% owned. Again, a PPR guy. And Javoris Allen, 77% owned. He's on a bye. And then Woodhead will be back. So actually, like, can you drop Javoris Allen or not after that game? 7 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown.
That's if Woodhead will be back.
He's expected back, right, after the bye?
I don't know if I'd go that far. He's eligible to come back after the bye.
Okay, okay.
That backfield is going to get messier. Collins had his shot. He blew it.
That was a good run defense. It was. I mean, yeah, I liked probably, it too. But...
Like, I don't think that Danny Woodhead's going to take any of Alex Collins' work. I would
But
next week against the Packers, I'm going to be starting Alex Collins.
What I'm worried about is Javoris Allen takes some of Alex Collins' work, which is sick to me. But the coaching staff seems to trust Allen more.
All right, these other players here, Thomas Rawls, Damian Williams. We talked about them earlier. Now there's Theo Riddick, Jamie, you have, Rex Burkhead. Dave, you like Devontae Booker. And then Rod Smith and Chris Ivory, you know, we know the
situation. Don't skip over
there.
Rob Kelly.
So Jamie said remove Rob Kelly.
Yeah.
Where are you on Rob Kelly?
That's hurtful. I was just really happy that he scored a couple touchdowns because I drafted him in several leagues where it's best ball and he just happens to stick in your lineup all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You can't start him this week against Minnesota. I think they would like to run the ball a little bit more successfully. Their matchups after Minnesota are not terrible.
Yeah, and hopefully they get their line healthy by then.
Right.
So Rob Kelly,
so I don't think he's. I think he should be higher than 57% owned.
Okay. So Jamie and Dave, you guys talked about Burkhead earlier. Expectations.
5 catches a game. Chance to potentially score.
7 targets in his last game when Hogan got hurt. He was essentially playing wide receiver for them. Still got, I think, 4 catches or 4 carries or 6 carries in that game. So
4.
He'll be part of the rotation with Lewis, Gillisley, and White. And he could, you know, see some time just playing receiver in general. So not necessarily a great option in standard leagues, but PPR, he could be a flex for you.
Yeah. We got to talk about...
Hit the 12 touches with a better chance of a touchdown than like a Javoris Allen.
We got to talk about the Lions. Because you wonder, like, Abdullah has been just bad this year. I think he's averaging like 3.2 yards per carry. He fumbled twice. Does Theo Riddick start to get more work? Does Dwayne Washington start to get more work? Washington did get more work in that game, but he had 5 carries for 1 yard last night. What do you think there? What's your read on that if you see Riddick or Washington on your waiver wire?
I think Riddick's role is pretty cemented in as a reliable passing downs player for the Lions. My hunch is that they're going to give Abdullah another shot.
Winning certainly helps that.
Yeah. Right. And they might not make Zach Zenner inactive next week. And they might use him in short yardage goal line.
Abdullah got the work down, you know, near the goal line.
He did, but then he fumbled and...
Yeah, he scored too.
I kind of feel like they're back to square one.
Okay, that's running back for you. We go to wide receiver. And we've discussed Robbie Anderson. Mohamed Sanu is 81% owned. And has another good chance this week against Dallas, guys.
Great matchup. Great, great matchup. He's the number 2 receiver for me, standard and PPR.
All right, so who do you like better, Anderson or Sanu this week?
I love Anderson this week, but Sanu's in a very good spot to, just be productive.
Okay. Tampa Bay, that's Anderson's matchup. They allow the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers. But this is another guy I think you might want to consider selling. I'm not sure how you guys feel about Anderson. Just last 3 games, he scored a touchdown, but in 2 of them, he had less than 50 yards. He rarely gets more than 6 targets. Seems a little bit too good to be true. To me, what do you think about Anderson? Staying power or, you know, kind of fluky?
He's got staying power, but I don't know if he's going to be. I agree that he's a sell high candidate.
But what, like,
You're not getting anything great.
I'm going to float him out there with the idea of trying to get more than he's worth.
But you're not going to get that, though.
There's idiots out there.
I think he could have staying power as a low-end number 2.
Right, but if I can trade him as a high-end number 2, because look how hot he is and look how Josh McCown's playing.
Right. Yeah. All right, well.
Yeah, try it.
I'm going to try and trade up with him.
So Corey Davis, Rishard Matthews, Marquise Lee. Dave, you did mention Marquise Lee at the top of the show, right?
I don't know if I did.
Nope.
Oh, okay. This one, all right, we should spend some time on it. 43% owned. He has been around 80 yards, or 72 to 83 yards, three straight games. He's got double-digit targets two games in a row. He's been good in PPR. He finally scored last week. This is Marquise Lee facing the Chargers this week, which isn't a great matchup. But I think Jamie and Heath are probably more excited about Marquise Lee than Dave. Is that accurate? Heath, what do you think?
I don't know if I'm more excited. I've gone hot and cold on Marquise Lee like four times so far this season at the wrong time each time, it seems like. So I am not the Marquise Lee whisperer. I do feel like this week in particular, they're going up against a Chargers team that nobody throws against because they don't have to. And Leonard Fournette just got a week off. I think he made
another week off.
Run
three in a row.
All over the Chargers.
So, yeah, I'll buy in. I mean, look, Bortles has been playing very well. And, you know, we've mentioned this before. When they let him throw in non-obvious passing situations, he looks good. Why would you go away from that? So Lee may not have a big game, but he's been consistent basically all season, certainly the last 3 weeks. And so I don't expect him to find the end zone consistently because he hasn't done that, but seven or more points, I think that's the floor for him right now.
All right, Marquise Lee. We got
like I certainly would rather start Robert Woods over him this week, but rest of season I'd much rather have Marquise Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So who wants to pick up Josh Gordon?
Deeper league.
I picked him up in a couple leagues last week, so yeah.
On the backflip-o-meter, would you do backflips 0 to 10 if Danny Amendola were on your waiver wire?
Zero.
Three.
I can't do a backflip or come anywhere close. No, four.
What if Hogan's out? Like, is Amendola... It is Denver.
I don't think Amendola's role really changes that much.
No, but targets could. Certainly.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, it's Denver. Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley. Adam Humphries. Adam Humphries this week. What do you think against the Jets without Mike Evans?
You've got to be desperate. And he might get you 10 fantasy points in the PPR.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 5 for 50 type game.
Yep. I don't think he's a terrible option. But it's a boom bust type play.
The deeper league guys, Deontay Thompson that Dave mentioned earlier, Curtis Samuel. We go to the tight ends. So yeah, I'm hoping for your sake Hunter Henry is available or Vernon Davis is available or Tyler Croft. Tyler Croft facing Tennessee. They haven't faced good tight ends much this year, so we don't really know what they're all about. And Jared Cook's on a bye, but could be worth stashing for sure. Charles Clay is number one for Jamie and Heath as well, right?
Yes, for
Charles
sure.
Clay and probably Dave as well, of all the guys owned in less than 65% of leagues. And then you got the smart hat, C.J. Fedorowicz or Steven Anderson at the Rams. Okay, so George Kittle's out. Is there a Hail Mary play in San Francisco?
Garrett Celek. He'll score a touchdown.
Going to score a touchdown.
That's the bet you make if you start Garrett Celek this week.
Did Tyler Higbee catch another pass after that?
Nope.
No.
That's so great.
It's incredible.
I love it.
Sean McVay, great for fantasy.
Ed Dixon.
Giants. Giants defense, great for tight ends.
Well, both work.
Yeah, Ed Dixon's 59% owned. He's got the Dolphins. And Trey Burton is on a bye. And maybe Ertz would miss another. Yeah, Trey Burton, you don't really. Nobody's going to pick him up. Okay, DSTs. The Bears, the Pats, the Giants, the Titans. We like the Steelers better than all of them if they're available. But the Bears, Pats, Giants, Titans. Heath, Dave, do you want to give any more DSTs?
I also like the Lions better than all of them.
Right. Forget about
that. They're available in a couple of leagues. I don't have ownership right here.
I put the Jets in also.
Yeah, the Jets should be in there.
Ahead of the Giants, 10%.
And how about the Niners? Any interest?
No.
No.
How about the Packers at the Bears? Any interest?
No.
They're behind everybody we've talked about.
Okay. There you go, everybody. Have a great day. That's it. I'm wrapping it up. We'll try to read some emails.
No kickers.
Go, give me a kicker.
Guy Forbath. Go get him.
Guy Forbath, go get him. That's what
Chris Boswell, my favorite.
Go get him.
Go get him. Go get all of them. For Dave, for Jamie, for Heath, I'm Adam. This has been the Waiver Wire. Back tomorrow with some trade talk and a lot more. Oh, some schedule analysis on Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
Bye.